Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Leo, you want to lead us?
Sure. Over there now.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Leo. Let the record show that Director Natalie Lopiccolo is not here tonight. The rest of the directors are. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So motion.
Second.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The agenda is approved. And first order of business, public comments.
I realized, John Lanoon. I realized that on February 5th, the CSD meeting was canceled. And I was wondering why we didn't get emails ahead of time for those of us that are on the list, letting us know that the meeting was going to be canceled.
The email did go out that the meeting was canceled. And if you didn't get that, then see me after the meeting. I'll make sure it's on the list.
Okay, because I know I get, you know, the minutes and everything else.
I can check.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And the other item is I'd like to talk about streetlights. CSD has jurisdiction for the streetlights in the village, correct?
Yes.
And I understand there's approximately 23 of them. And that the monthly electric bill for that is approximately $220 a month. And that comes to approximately $2,640 a year for the 23 streetlights. Now, one of them got run over by a truck in front of the pizza parlor on December 29th. Hmm. And I'll assume that their insurance covered that within a couple of weeks while they had it back up and running. And I just drove by there this evening just to see if they put in the pole matches, and the light seems to match all the other lights, but I was thinking maybe and hoping that they would put in an LED type of light bulb that would maybe be a little less costly and more longevity. But it didn't look like they did. They put in the standard sodium type light bulb. Being an electrician for 40 years, that was my observation. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if at all ever we get a chance to talk to Edison and see if someday maybe they could go through and change out all the light bulbs in the 23 standards that we have, see if we can't get those replaced with LED lights. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Any other public comments?
So the Chesapeake MA Snowbird here, or on Snowbird. We have a lot of law enforcement here tonight, and I think we need to start addressing the problems with snow players in Brightwood. I've never seen it this bad, and frankly, we live right on the wash, and we're dealing with it all the time. We're dealing with people pooping in our backyard, peeing in our backyard, selling tamales at the school, not to mention the safety factors. And we always have to pick up people's trash. So I think it would be good to start in the dialogue with that.
All right, thank you. Any other public comments?
Hi, Judy Skillman. I know this will come as a surprise, but like snow players. So we can't fight Google Maps, but I'm on the east side of town, and there's so many unprepared drivers because they're getting routed that way.
You speak into the mic just so we can get it on the recording.
Sorry. because they're getting routed that way, Google Maps is taking them unprepared. So last night on East Canyon, there were so many lost drivers looking and fighting. Automobile clubs and tow trucks were there pulling cars apart. the flipovers on Lone Pine in the morning. So my asking is, as a solution, is there a possibility, maybe it would help residential traffic only, but Sheriff's Department's been doing a great job coming in and helping with snow players and getting them out and off of residential streets during the day, but this was at night and early in the morning on the way up. I'm thinking maybe signage. All ye who enter, abandon all hope. No, something to the effect of, you know, residential traffic only, don't trust your Google Maps, be prepared, something to that effect, just to put that out in the discussion about some signage maybe.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to the agency reports. Who's going to go first? All right, thank you.
Okay, so Greg Herbert, captain of Victor Valley Station. First we'll talk about snow players, because that's on everybody's mind. Sergeant McCarty and Beck will talk about our efforts we've been doing in town. We've been investing in, everybody's seen the deputies up here. We generally run 2 to 3 deputies up here on weekend days and on holidays when it's a 3-day holiday weekend. We could have 10 deputies up here, and there's still hundreds more cars than we can deal with. So we do our best. If someone's in your yard, you need to call us, because we will come there and we will cite them for trespassing. And this is, I have this dialogue every year when I come up here.
Yeah.
We can't do, you know, getting into the neighborhoods, we don't know if someone's infiltrated your backyard, so please call us. And the deputies are up there, they'll be here within minutes. In between then, they're out writing parking citations, they're helping untangle cars, et cetera, et cetera. To the second part about residential traffic only, these are publicly maintained, publicly owned roads, and we can't shut them down to residents only. It's against the law. We can't do that. As far as the frontage to the roads, because they're county roads, I seriously doubt that Public Works, County Public Works, can allow you to put signage up there, because then if they allow it along the frontage of the road, it becomes a liability if somebody hits the sign. They can only be official traffic control signs. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is Captain DeLong from the CHP. We've been working in concert to try to manage this. Eliminating the snow play problem, it's not going to happen. We're trying to keep it managed is what we're trying to do. You remember years past, we didn't have deputies up here. And it's a result of collaboration of years between us and the first district supervisor's office that the county's given my station overtime. And trust me, I use it. I mean, we put people up here and they're expected to keep the problem under control as the best they can. So,
yeah, it's overwhelming. I mean, there's so many people, there's just no way to, if you had 100 cops up here, man,
that's
just
true. You know, and you first.
Well, I have a question about Lone Pine. I know we can't put the sign up for the reason he stated, because I know we discussed every one of that in the past. But is there already signage? And if not, could we put signage up that talks about chains being necessary on that road? What Google Maps doesn't show is how much more dangerous Lone Pine is than Highway 2. And locals know it, so half the time we don't take it.
So there may be a possibility. So what I'll do is I'll ask for Susan. Can you communicate with Public Works? Because everybody's seen the new signs on Lone Pine Canyon, right? No parking during snow removal conditions.
Right.
They had to do some research through our attorneys to make sure it was legal to post that.
Okay.
The county attorney said it was okay. The signs were up within a week.
Yeah.
Can you communicate to them about...
If there could be something about dangerous conditions or windy, slippery roads during snow, or I don't... And maybe it wouldn't do anything.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. What I will tell you is these people are bound and determined to get up here. Okay? I live down in Oak Hills on the east side of the freeway. When the freeway gets stopped because we have a fire or whatever, they're like ants, and they fan out into the neighborhoods. And I live on a remote 5-acre piece of property, and it's bumper-to-bumper traffic on my dirt road because people are looking for alternate routes. They're bound to determine, but they're public throughways, and they can't be closed because it's an inconvenience to anyone. We only close roads when it's an emergency. Traffic gridlock and annoying traffic in your neighborhood is not a traffic emergency.
Maybe it should
be. Let me finish. Because if that was the case, we'd be closing the 10 freeway eastbound every night in downtown Los Angeles because of traffic gridlock. You already follow me?
Yeah.
So we're doing our best. We're throwing a lot of resources at it. And sorry, I'll talk about what we've been doing.
Yeah.
So, did you have a question, sir?
Yeah, I do. I think it is an emergency. I live on the east end of town. It took me 30 minutes to go 1 mile, and I was worried anybody has a house fire, whatever, they're not going to get to it.
Okay, well,
not on time.
And Captain, no, Paul,
I think it's an emergency when Lone Pine is backed up all the way from the top of the hill to the center.
Well, I will be very frank with you. It is not in our power or the Highway Patrol's power to close a road because of traffic gridlock.
And then I have another question.
Yes, sir.
And that is, I recall being stopped and my driver's license checked when we had emergencies up here for fire or whatever, and they would allow me to go up Lone Pine, but nobody else. I remember this
during fires,
years ago.
During fires, that can occur. It all depends on what's going on at the time of the fire.
There's not a whole lot of difference between blocking roads so nobody can get through.
Well, the reason we stop traffic coming up here is because we could be actively fighting a fire. An apparatus has to move around town because a fire may be moving, and we need the roads totally clean because there's, probably 100 fire trucks up here. And we've got to own the roads, and we're very strict about that because the county will declare a state of emergency, and we close the roads down and we enforce that. But weather and snow, it's a huge inconvenience, and I feel for you, and we're doing our best. But you live in a national forest recreation area, and people come here to recreate. And that it really is the fact of the matter.
But not in our neighborhood.
That's why if they're doing something on your street, call the deputies and we'll get them out of there. Because we don't want them blocking your driveway. We don't want them playing in your front yard. We don't want them defecating in your backyard. I don't want them using your barbecue or any of that stuff. And I'm not being facetious. All this, I monitor what goes on up here. Call the deputies. That's why they're up here. They'll get tickets and they'll get told to get lost.
Well, before I zip it, you guys are doing a great job.
We're doing our best. I know that it's a great job, but we are doing our best. Yes, ma'am.
So, yesterday I made the mistake of going up to Mountain High with my kids.
That was your choice. That was your choice.
But I noticed, on the way down, it took me an hour to get from Mountain High to Wrightwood, and it wasn't because of a long line of cars. It was literally just because a car or five cars in front of me would stop, and they would sit there for 10, 15 minutes while they got out and played in the snow.
Okay.
In the middle of the road. And so the deputy was amazing. After 10 minutes, he realized what was going on. It took him 5 minutes to get up there to tell them to move. But I was wondering, if the road conditions are good enough and it's not bad for a motorcycle, is it possible to get just a motorcycle on Highway 2 so they can go in between the cars and tell people to move?
We don't ride motors on IC roads.
There's no IC roads. Because the roads were...
But there are patches still up here. We don't put motorcycles up here.
Okay.
That's on the LA County side. I happen to make a phone call to the LA County representative tonight. And we also have the Highway Patrol.
Okay.
So again, public roads, state highways, we do our best to keep traffic flowing. That's the whole idea, not shut things down.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not opposed. I actually don't. I'm one of the people that doesn't want to go there. I think they support our town pretty well.
To a certain extent.
What percentage of them do?
There was a certain place in town that sold a lot of hamburgers the weekend
ago.
That really helped. And there was probably a lot of parking violations right there in that certain section of Highway 2 while people were riding across and eating hamburgers, but I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
Go
ahead. Yes.
When they're parking on Highway 2, yesterday was a perfect example. That snow that came out of nowhere just about.
Right.
Created hazardous traffic conditions, no plows going to get through, icy roads, you guys, all of you guys were answering a million calls for wrecks and stuff, which I saw on the forum and other places. Why are they allowed to park on Highway 2? I thought it was no parking on there.
I'll let Dan, here's the deal that Dan and I have. State highway,
yeah.
State police.
I
neighborhoods, the deputies are doing their best to protect the neighborhood and keep the problem moving around. And that's, and I'm not throwing responsibility off on Dan, because if we had a rollover collision down there on the highway and Dan's units are busy somewhere else, our deputies will be down there and try to render medical aid and get the road open and stuff like that. So, something else I want to open up about is I'm leaving. I'm getting transferred down to our headquarters. So I will bring my replacement up. When's the meeting in March?
2 weeks from tonight. March 5th?
March 5th.
First Tuesday in March, right? So I will bring my replacement up. It's newly promoted Captain Shelley Crosby, and I'm going down to headquarters, and I'll be pushing a lot more paper than I push right now. So,
well, thank you for all your...
Before you go.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is specifically for you or someone else, but, and this may be a pipe dream, but the thought occurred to me when I went down the hill one Sunday 3 weeks ago or something, and the traffic on the 138 was backed up, I don't know, 2 miles past the two, and then you got to Lone Pine, and it was backed up down the 15, well beyond Kenwood, just because they couldn't get up Lone Pine. And I wondered about the signs. You know, there's a sign on the 15, several of them along the 15, that show you the approximate wait time until the place you're going. And I don't, it occurred to me, would it make an impact if there was a way to get funding to have a sign at the 15 and the 138 that said, 3 hours to get to Wrightwood, or something? Because I look at those parents with young kids, I don't know how they stay sane, and I understand by the time they get stuck on 138, they are not turning around, but if they had a chance right there at the 15, and they understood, as soon as I get in this line, I'm in it for the next 3 hours.
So, I'm going to pass the buck on this one on Caltrans,
okay.
And we'll have to talk about it. At the winter traffic meeting, every year we have the district get Caltrans folks there, and they promise us that they're going to put portable signs up.
Okay.
I have yet to see a portable sign to go up.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because they're busy with their plows doing other stuff, but it's, you know, they was even a request that maybe the county would do it because we have portable signs. Nope, that's Caltrans.
Well, I think they also did volunteer to change the signs that go over the freeway, you know, that
right.
that it would say that they would do that.
But that's above my pay grade. I really can't have a lot of influence
okay.
on Caltrans.
But it's a Caltrans.
It's a great idea. We discuss it every year. It's just, but how about this? We're getting a component of the overall problem fixed better and better every year.
Yeah.
Can you agree on that?
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyway, Robert, you want to go to the stats of what we've been doing up here?
Thank you for your work.
Thank you for your service to our community.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Bucari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, and I'm signed up here in Phelan because I missed the meeting in January. January 1st, I couldn't believe you guys that. I too didn't get the email. For calls for service in the community of Wrightwood, from December 1st to December 31st, there were 123 calls, a total of 16 reports taken, and 2 arrests. Your high call volumes were extra patrols at 15, burglar alarms at 11, 911 follow-ups at 6, and vehicle checks at 6. In West Cajon Valley for the month of December, there were a total of 24 calls for service and 3 reports taken with 1 arrest. And the high call volumes in West Cone Valley were area checks at 4, CPS follow-ups at 2, follow-ups at 2, and parking violations at 2. In the month of January, from January 1st to January 31st, in the community of Wrightwood, there were a total of 140 calls for service. That's not that many. There's not that many. There were a total of 16 reports taken and 1 arrest. Your high call volumes were wireless 911 at 12, welfare checks at 11, extra patrols at 11, and 911 follow-ups at 10. Remember, when we're up here, every single call, every single traffic stop, every single vehicle check, anything a deputy does gets logged as a call. So it'll generate a new call for service. The city of Victorville, when they had motors, it would not be uncommon for them to do, with motorcycles, traffic cops, doing 550 calls for service a day. So, and you'll see from the snow stats, we have been up here working snow patrol from January 6th through February 18th. We have logged a total of 184 man hours. I rounded that off to the county overtime rate for those man hours, man hours during that six-week time period, it was $13,422 for the 184 hours. We issued 352 citations.
What was the revenue from that?
Not nearly what you think.
No, it wasn't 13,000?
It was not.
Oh. You got to raise it.
We're actually working on this with Supervising Levinka's office. A parking citation is $13.50.
Wow, that's it.
Even if they're on a highway?
$13.50.
That's it.
You guys should talk to the people in LA.
We're working on it.
It
needs to be like $300.
So when they come down, reports that I receive from my deputies, when they come down and they see the citation on their car and the $13.50, it's cheaper than an adventure path. They just leave their car.
Of course it is.
So right. We're working to get that fee.
And what's the cost of parking on your cell phone?
That would actually be a CBC violation, and they're
$285. But parking on a highway.
Okay. So we've towed approximately a half dozen vehicles, and I started losing my staff for the difference between the parking. I mean, 352 citations. It was probably in the 250 range for actual parking violations, and then probably about 100 registration violations.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
That's great.
Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
From our deputies, it is a very difficult job up here dealing with all of the people. Like my captain said, you have to generate a call for service. We don't know the difference. There's over by the wash, somebody mentioned by the wash, somebody owns property over there, and they said they don't care if they play in their backyard. So there was 50 or 75 people there. They
right.
had parking citations for parking on the street, and then I don't care if they play in my backyard. It's totally okay. So you've got one extreme to the other. So if you don't make that call for service, we can't tell who's in the right,
right.
and who's in the wrong. And there's not two sets of laws that apply to Wrightwood, one for all the snow players that come up here, and two for the Wrightwood community members that park on the wrong side of the street, that block driveways, park in handicap parking spaces, and don't pay the registration, that generate complaints and calls for service for me. Because we want the deputies up here, but we want you to mess with them. I can park in the handicap parking spaces, and I'm in here, it's okay. That's what was, and this is what we deal with. And if you're operating up here in Wrightwood and you're operating a Razor, a Rhino, or any other type of ATV, it's subject to vehicle code. You're not registered to operate on the street, and your vehicle's going to be towed.
Oh, that's no good.
Is that a golf cart?
No. Okay. No. Yeah, you can a mile of a golf course.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you do.
A mile of a golf course.
We posted 25 within a mile of a golf course.
Put a couple holes in.
Yeah.
Country course.
Okay.
Somebody's going to put a golf course in now.
A frisbee golf course.
No, a frisbee golf course does not count.
Are you sure? Okay. All right.
That's right. But really, the calls for service, our deputies are out doing the best they can with finding the cars and where people are parking illegally. We constantly run them off. But the calls for service as to where the snow players are at, if they're on your property, if they're in an illegal area or trespassing, we need to know that. And the only way we're going to find it is calls for service, because when you drive up and down the street, it's hard to tell if the little kids that are playing in the front yard are yours or somebody else's. And if we don't have a call for service, we can't tell the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Good evening. My name is Deputy Andy Cronin. I am the resident deputy for the Palmdale Station, one of my areas of responsibility is up here in Wrightwood on the LA County side. I know that we have a problem with snow players and traffic and everything. I was up here just last Saturday. It was a mess. I had the zip line folks call me and say that they had a gazillion people on their property. So I was up here, used my PA, chased them all the way. So as soon as I went down the road, came back, there was more people on the road. They don't see the no trespassing or private property signs. They don't care. I know traffic's a mess up here. I only have a little sliver of the neighborhood on LA County side. I do make trips up and down. I pretty much know who belongs in the neighborhood. So if I see people I don't recognize, I say, do you live here? And they go, no, I see you got to bounce. So I chase people off people's property. Now, as far as down the man where you live, that's not my fair responsibility. But if I'm driving down that way, because that's the way I usually go out, I go out down the San Bernardino side. If I do see people playing in somebody's yard or something, and I get flagged down, I usually stop and help. I can still do something. I'm not just not going to, just because it's San Bernardino side. But usually we have our search and rescue guys up here on the weekends. They drive the big search and rescue truck. I usually have two patrols up here doing that on the weekends, especially during the snow, because we get a lot of accidents with people sledding and broken and twisted ankles and stuff. So they help out with that. Not this last weekend, the weekend before, I had two reserves up here going up and down the highway on the LA County side, right side. I tried to get up here that weekend, but I couldn't make it up because there were so many people off Big Pines Highway crashing into everything. They blocked the road. So I went down to the 138 to come up that way, and that was impossible to get up because everybody and their mother was coming up that way. I was up here Saturday. I was supposed to be up here all day. I got up here about 10:30, 11 o'clock because I worked until 3 o'clock in the morning, Friday night to Saturday morning. So I got up here around that time. I told the desk for my lieutenant that I was supposed to be up here, but then that went in 1 year. I was only up here an hour before I had to come back down to Little Rock. That's another area of my responsibility because there's only two cars, my sister car and me, and they ended up taking somebody to jail, took them out of the area. So I ended up, within 10 minutes, got 5 different calls. One was an emergent call, so I had to leave the mountain, unfortunately. But I got a call back from the zip line folks, and they were very appreciative of me chasing everybody out. The guest ranch even called me. I chased everybody out the guest ranch. That's where I'm at right now. I have to go talk to my acting captain tomorrow. We've got to make a plan of maybe hiring some extra deputies. Reserves come up here. We can get our reserve deputies up here, the search and rescue guys up here, and me come up here over the weekend, at least on Saturday, be up here early in the morning, so late in the evening, so I can help leave the problem. I work a lot with Kevin Hubert's deputies. We kind of tag team things sometimes. If they get bogged down on their area and they need help, I go over there and help them out. Same thing, they come on over here. So it's just an ongoing thing. Every year we have the meeting. We try to figure out ways to solve the problem. We're not going to solve the problem of getting rid of the snow players, like Kevin Huber said. They're going to come up here. A lot of these people, you see them, they're not dressed for the occasion. They're not ready for the occasion. What was that? A few years ago we had that big storm come in, and it trapped all those folks up here. And a lot of them were ill, unprepared for the conditions. So another problem we're having is that the Highway 2 going to La Quinada, is the snow gate closed right there at Mountain High. And that usually, when that's open, that's where a lot of the snow players go in the back areas right there, and they play. Well, now you got everybody condensed into one little small area, and that's the problem. So we're doing the best I can. A lot of times it's just little old me up here, and I'm just a lonely old deputy, and I don't have bars on my collar like the captain does. I don't have a lot of pull. And then if I get into something up here, I'm kind of stuck by myself. I have to rely on my guys down below to come up here and help, or I call for San Bernardino or even the CHP. These guys are up here, but we're all trying to keep everybody out of the neighborhoods as best as we can, trying to keep the snow players safe and keep them out of the areas that they're not supposed to be.
I think everybody appreciates that. We know it's an overwhelming job.
I was overwhelmed on Saturday.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I got cut out by a lady because she didn't appreciate me telling her to leave the no parking area. So,
right.
It kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. I'm home and my wife's like, what's wrong? to some lady yelled at me.
did you give her the $13 or $0.50?
She got a ticket, all right. I don't know how much it is for L.A. County. I can't remember. I have to look at my...
I can't imagine L.A. County being that cheap.
I think it's a couple more bucks than...
Yeah.
Sure. Not much more.
I'm going to take a guess that it's a lot more.
Is there a difference if they're just parked on the side of the street, highway, or... What made me think of the cell phone thing earlier is when I first moved up here, people were not parked on the right side of the line. They were halfway into the, onto the highway.
That's the same way.
The same cost,
both
though,
ways.
Whichever way you park?
Yeah.
Okay.
The traffic's a pain because I was trying to get through traffic, and I was going down the middle with my lights on, and I was trying to dodge into cars, trying not to. And then Medic 14 had to come up to Wrightwood a couple times to come through that nonsense, and that's a pain for them guys.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they even have the engine try to even come this way. Am I right, Captain? How bad it is for you guys even to try to roll to something. And we can't even, from LA County, 79s can't even make it up here. And that's when we rely on Station 14 and them guys to handle all our medical issues up here, because 79 is not going to get up here, especially with all that mess up here.
Right.
So, do I have any questions while I'm standing here? None?
No.
Well, you guys will see me this Saturday. I'll be driving around. Wait for me.
We'll be hiding in our home.
Yeah. Drive me in for a cup of coffee. I love coffee. We'll get a burger.
I'll do it.
There you go.
There you go.
I don't know if I'll be open Saturday. Maybe Sunday.
Sunday's my day off.
So. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Well, yeah, I'm Captain DeLong from the California Highway Patrol at Victorville Station, and we cover the San Bernardino side of Wrightwood. And just past the county lines, there's another Antelope Valley CHP office that covers that. But, you know, we're one department, so we'll trickle over into that area too. But I just want to open it up for questions. I know somebody had a question on State Route 2 parking. Was that you, ma'am?
Yeah,
isn't
no parking along State Route
2? It is. And I'll just give you, and I know it's better than it's been in past years, especially our response, maybe not the parking. But what we've done, in July, I moved our officers from 12-hour shifts to 8-hour shifts, which freed up some resources for us. So what you will get now up here on the weekends is you'll have a dedicated officer up here for sure. There may be one or two days a month, but it's usually during the week that we won't have one, but you will get a dedicated officer up here, in addition to the officers that are on the overtime that is paid for by the resort. I talked to Captain Herbert. I talked to the Antelope Valley captain, so we can dedicate the right resources up here and make sure that we have the resources we need up here. It's been a busy couple weekends, for sure. So my direction to my supervisors on those weekends, especially when we have a lot of snow, is you're going to spend your time up in Wrightwood. And it's a good thing that we do that, because we've had some significant issues, road closures up there with some ice where we're just turning everybody around. I don't know, a couple weekends you guys, I'm sure, maybe got caught in that. But those are things that are out of our control. When we have those icy roadways, we obviously can't let people drive over those, so we're going to have to turn around. And really, there's no good location to turn these folks around. There just isn't. So, again, we're dedicating the resources up here. Now, I'm in constant communication with that supervisor and our officers up here. And in relation to the snow players on the shoulders, you should never see now them blocking the roadway at all. So if that's an issue, those are the ones where we really got to call. But we should be monitoring those. Those cars are a priority towway for us. So what I had last week is, when our officers would go to those locations on our PA, you got to move your car, you got 2 minutes, they would move. You go to the next location, by the time you turn around, completely.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Those are the issues that we're dealing with now. So
we didn't see that. We're outside actually stabbing some firewood. Never
I saw that. I mean, I was in that traffic an hour down the...
Right across from Mormon Church.
Yeah. Well, they
never
just...
Never once did we see that.
Yeah. I did.
I mean, you know, not things that...
No.
It's just constant. I mean, if they go up the road, yell at people, and then other people just fill in.
But that's also another thing is for the fire, you know, know, when we were outside last weekend, when the fire trucks would go by, I mean, it took them a good 5-10 minutes to go a quarter mile. So
right.
I mean, that's impeding safety for the citizens of the community. So.
Right. There, sir.
Did the Forest Service handing out any citations? Do they have anybody that's doing that at all?
That, sir, I do not know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, sometimes they'll have their law enforcement folks up.
Yes.
Sometimes they'll have their law enforcement folks up here, but they have two law enforcement folks, and they're dedicated for not only up here, but they have Mount Baldy, they have other areas of the forest that they're dedicated to. So they might not even make it over here. They might be, I know last week in Sioux, her, she's one of the officers, she was in Baldy last week, this weekend, and there was a mess over there. You think we had a bad here, Baldy, they end up having rescues, it was a mess over there, and Big Bear's even doing this. I mean, they're having problems up there too. So, we got it okay compared to Mount Baldy, because I was listening to traffic on there all day Saturday, and there was a mess over there. So those folks are over there, sometimes they'll come over here, it just depends. Sue was here 2 weekends ago, but she couldn't, she didn't go up here and do anything, so.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm sorry. And just to piggyback on what you're saying, so, you know, and sometimes if you don't see those officers, when we have those 5-6 traffic collisions in a row because of the ice, there goes our resources up there. They're going to be swallowed up, taking traffic investigations, collision investigations at those scenes before they can go back and do that. So it's a tough situation, but I truly believe that we got a pretty good handle. Can we improve on some of it, like the parking on the tube going up? We could, and that would take many more resources. But we're working on it, and I think we got a good plan in place. It's not perfect. It's obviously not perfect for you folks that live up here, and I know it's a burden sometimes. But we're working on it, and we have an after action, what we call it. Every Monday, we find out, hey, what happened up in Wrightwood? How can we do better? How can we turn these folks around? How can we, you know, streamline traffic through here, the parking? So, hey, we're working on it. We're working on it. Any other questions? I got a few stats. Obviously not as detailed as San Bernardino. We're from the state here, so we have fresh new fourth quarter 2018 stats for State Route 2 and the 138. We kind of combine those beats. We call them beats. So on the 38, and our office, Victorville, actually takes it from the LA County line to about Hess Road. So on the 138, we had 17 in the fourth quarter of last year, 17 traffic collisions, and one of those was DUI related. Hmm. On the 2, we had 3 traffic collisions. Now sometimes when we have those property only damage collisions where people are sliding in the ice, it'll be exchange of information. A lot of times folks will exchange information while our officer is there, because obviously you can't take 10 crashes when there's very minor damage. So I'm sure it's a few more than 3, but for fourth quarter of 18 we had 3. We had 10 total arrests. 4 of them were DUI related, and that would be on the 138 and the 2. An enforcement plan. So what we have is a dedicated enforcement plan that I started when I got here, and some of that includes the 138. So we'll dedicate some officers to go out there specifically for enforcement on either the 2 or the 138. And we have designated locations, which really are primary collision factor locations throughout our area, you know, the 395 other places, but some of the places are 138 and the 2. And that's about it. So I'll open up the questions again. Highway Patrol.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Susan?
Good evening. Susan Drake from Supervisor Levinson's office. Just a real quick update. The county awarded Wrightwood Chamber $25,000 to promote tourism in the off-season. It's not earmarked that way, but luckily that's the way your chamber chooses to use it. Also, we have a real big event for our school children, mostly middle school and high school this week to introduce them to all the great manufacturing and trade jobs that are available in the county. It's Thursday, so many of your students, so if you have middle or high school students, they'll be headed to down to the fairgrounds and get to meet some of those great employers that are in the high desert. Lastly, just a tip on Waze and Google Maps. If you have an area that you want concentrated on that you feel is very dangerous, if you use those apps around your house and you report it as dangerous, sooner or later that algorithm changes. And I learned that during one of the fires when Waze was sending tour buses up a fire road into the mouth of the fire. And I knew somebody that actually worked at Google, and I called him, and he said, we could declare an emergency on that road, which we did, but we had to sign our life away. Or you can have everybody in that area report that on Waze, and that road got taken off.
Interesting.
So it would help if you do see dangerous roads and you're a Waze user to report that as dangerous or...
So a great idea.
So they could eventually have all of Brightwood
But does Google Maps have that? Because it's not crowdsourced, right? Like Waze? Or is it not?
I understood that this is several years ago when I was dealing with that. And they may have changed that they're actually intertwined.
Oh, okay.
So I would keep trying it. And that may help and it may not. And as far as road signs go, there are specific road signs that the state of California endorses, and certain road signs they do not. One of the ones they could possibly put up is that icy. It just says icy, but so you see that a lot.
But that doesn't stop anybody if the ground is just wet where they start,
and my concern
and it says
is
icy.
They wouldn't have any good place to turn around in.
Right. Right.
And I did see the Caltrans sign on two weekends in a row at before you got off on the 138, and it said a mountain traffic area is congested. Now,
I wish it would say something like it would have the time. It would actually have the time.
It's 3 hours to get driveway.
Right, or whatever the actual time.
They have that corresponding monitor up here. Because they monitor, the way they get the time is they have monitors along I-15.
I see. So there's no monitors up here, so they don't know. So somebody could report it, though. It could.
They could.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
I think they're trying. If they need more coaching.
I think congested is not a deterrent.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Any more agencies? I don't think so.
Yep, we're going to fire.
Oh, gotcha.
It's
gotcha.
Not eating yet.
Come on up.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a little sick. Mark Wright from Wrightwood here. I'm a duty captain today, tomorrow. Don't really have any stats, not exact numbers, but we're somewhere like in the 80-plus call load volume between Wrightwood, Pinyon Hills, Speenland, Mountain High. Some of the update stuff, in the weekends and the holidays and the heavy days, for staff and a second ambulance down for in the Phelan area to help with the call load for all over, mainly the mountain. And then we've always been keeping an eye on the stop sign traffic as it's starting to back up, look for the trigger point when we can call our dispatch to let, hey, you know, just give the CHP a heads up that, you know, starting to get to that point where, and you know, they know that they're going to come up here and do it, but just kind of give them an early warning of if it looks like it's starting to back up earlier to get that going. And, so other than that, we're here and taking care of business. Yes, sir.
Was it your staff that filled sandbags and left them outside the fire station?
That was, well, no, not my shift. It was one of our
shifts.
Yeah, what we had is one of the captains there, he called and got the hand crew to come up and fill like a couple hundred sandbags I just leave them sitting right there on the where the road, where all the sand is, where you can come and get all that stuff.
I wanted to compliment you on that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No, no problem. You know, if we're there, we can help, you know, to do them. The only thing, we'll get a request. I had a nice lady came down, and she needed, like, 20 sandbags. Like, okay, here's, I'll give you 30. Well, oh, they have come filled? Well, no. No, but we have a bunch of sand over here and stuff. It's like, oh, okay, well, so here, let's go start filling them. And I started, I thought, wait a minute, can you pick this up? No. I said, okay, this isn't going to work. I can fill them and put them in your car, but you can't pull them out. I don't know how you should go, oh, well, I just have my grandson or somebody. So, okay, all right. So then we loaded up her car and off she went. So that worked out. But yeah.
I see you had the snow cat out the other day. Were you able to use it? Did you need it?
No, they were out training with it. So we have some new shift personnel. What was that? Just last month, up to our annual snowcat training, and that's twice for us, for me and my crew. And so we have two new shifts of personnel, and so they were able to get out there and get trained on it and stuff. So they were out here training some more with it, and the more the better they can do, because it's one of those low frequency, high potential for disaster kind of events type thing. You know, if you don't know what you're doing. When I got on the county, I worked up first in Fawnskin, and so I, you know, okay, this is the engine, I know that, the squad and the snowcat. I was like, snowcat? I thought they were messing with me. I'm like, what do you mean a snowcat? Like, we have an animal over here? And then he takes me and shows me this tracked vehicle. All right, nice. So that's how you start. Let's say you check the oil, and this is how you, you know, it moves. All right, well, that's cool. Yeah, so I could potentially snow where I can't drive an engine. So I had to go drive it, and then later on when I moved, I got out of there and I came here. Then we start having the personnel saying, okay, so do you know how to use a snowcat? Oh, yeah, I drove one in Fawnskin. Oh, yeah, that's neat, but do you know, like, the angle of approach to park? What are you talking about? A cat can just go wherever it wants to go. They know. You can't just drive this thing anywhere. And so there's a bunch of training, and so we've been doing that with all our personnel, getting them up to speed with the new personnel here. We're going to have a few changes, nothing major, though. I'm staying. All the captains are staying. We have some promotions that have happened, so, and some new firemen coming in, but all young and healthy and
strong.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Item 6, consent calendar. We have the regular board meeting minutes. Somebody check that out?
Yeah, they're fine.
I read them.
They're okay?
Yeah.
Do we need a motion to approve?
1 second. And item 6B, we have a board resolution for Michelle Mitchell. Hi, Michelle. And it's resolution number 2019-02, resolution of the Board of Directors of the Wrightwood Community Services District in gratitude for the service that Michelle Mitchell performed as a member of the Wrightwood Community Services District team. So, all the board members have signed except for Natalie. She isn't here tonight. So I'd like to present this. Al, do we get a copy of this, or what do we do to?
Well, we have the.
It's in their packet.
When we have the motion.
Okay, so I have the motion to approve the consent calendar, please.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the consent calendar.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the consent calendar carries. Okay.
We're going to hold on to it
for Natalie.
Natalie's signature.
Okay.
And then I'll make a copy of that. And
okay.
And get it to Michelle.
Well, let's have a round of applause for Michelle. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you. All your work.
Okay.
Who's taking her place?
We'll have that for next. General manager. Right.
Yes, general manager.
Yes, yeah, so item 7, general manager report.
Nothing new to
I have a question, though. Sure. This last paragraph, I like the idea of the third Tuesday, but that's today. Does that need to apply for next month? Because that's...
Well, obviously, you're not going to be able to apply because we have a special meeting today.
Today, right. So okay, what do you want the deadline to be for this month?
How about tomorrow? how about next week?
Next, okay.
Like Tuesday of next week?
Okay.
Would still be quite fine.
Okay, great. Thank you, Al.
Al, could you move the microphone a little closer, please? Thank you.
Any other comments on the report, Al?
No, there's a lot of activity. That's why the report's rather extensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I will just make a couple of just little points. One, we do have a replacement for Michelle, Tammy, right here.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing an excellent job. We have a replacement for Tammy because she was initially hired for the part. And we have a replacement for her, Jim
Prince.
And he's doing quite well. He's coming along quite well. So we have a full staff again. And I wanted to make a couple of points that I'm working on a grant. Actually, I'll be going to a workshop here on Thursday. And the grant is for Parks and Recreation through Proposition 68. It's really rare to get state grants through propositions like this, but this so happened. And I've already been in contact and working with these people, kind of giving them some insight about that work. The workshop will give me a lot more clarity. But what I'm looking to accomplish is that there will be several items when I bring in the CIP list. And a number of those that deal with parks and recreation facilities, like this particular building, the parking lot, so that we can roll into this grant. Because the grant has two things. One part of it deals with new structure, new stuff. The other part of it, something that they're really emphasizing, is a renovation of. And believe it or not, we have a good chance.
Good.
Great.
So I'm really anxious to get that going. My goal is right around 200,000.
That'd be great.
All right.
And Al, thank you for praying on both sides. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. The
auditor. Yeah. That's right.
What?
Mm-hmm.
John.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you come up to the mic, John?
John Ledoux. Last year, the board was discussing a director for Parks and Recreation. I don't see that on the agenda. Is that something that this grant is going to be part? No. So it's not to do with employees?
Grants very, very seldom have anything to do with employees or anything of that sort.
Right.
Grants are more for structures, perhaps for promotion of programs. Sometimes you can wrap somebody in there, but this particular thing that you're referring to, that won't apply.
Now I see later on in the agenda you're going to be discussing the budget. Is the Parks and Recreation Director still part of the program for this year?
Well, they have not approved that position.
I understand that. Is that something that's going to be on the agenda?
It'll be on the next month's agenda.
Next month's agenda.
Right.
Will that be so that the budget can compensate for that, or are we going to be talking about funding from the softball league and what have you, and that will be part of the budget?
Can't
table the budget until you get that position.
Can't really comment on that. I mean, it's not on the agenda tonight.
I understand, but I want to put these thoughts in your head.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, item 8. Any other questions about the general manager report before I move on? Okay. Item 8, January financials. And I've got several questions about this, Al. On the income side, I cannot tell what part is the special assessment and what part is the property taxes collected. I just don't understand how this works. I see deposits.
Well, down there in deposits.
Yeah.
The SBC GA01,
mm-hmm.
that's the property tax.
Mm.
And then the SL01 is the solid waste.
That's the special assessment.
Right. I broke it apart this way because I was asked to show it separately. So when we have a deposit in the bank, they come together. Okay.
Well, they're broken out on the... They're separate deposits.
On the information that you and I see?
Yeah, on the wired transfer.
Right,
right.
On the wired transfer, it shows them separate.
Yeah.
But it shows the overall deposit.
For that day, you mean? Separate it on the bank statement?
Not enough.
Really?
Yeah, just look at the deposits. Just look at their bank statement as the collective number.
They don't break it down, but it's a separate wire transaction. Right? It's not. You're saying for San Bernardino, you're saying the property tax is just one wire that they send over.
Correct.
Okay. But they break it out on the email that you and I get.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I broke it open here because I was asking.
Yeah, it threw me off for the budget item because it's not booked right for last year. Mm-hmm. Right? It's something's really... I mean, it might total up correctly, but the property tax and the special assessment are clearly not right. You show the property tax much higher than the special assessment as an example. That isn't right.
Okay, I'll go through that again.
I've asked Celia, I've sent two mails to her, two emails requesting a meeting, no answer. None. I can send a third. She was fairly caustic in her response to me, and I asked for something ASAP. She didn't like that. I said, okay, I understand you're busy. Can I have a meeting? And I got no response, and it's been at least 2 weeks.
Let me see what I can do about setting up a meeting.
Yeah, we need a meeting for that because it's not booked right.
And, yeah, I agree with you. It's not booked right. I'll pull up all those statements that you and I
But have. Last year is closed, so I don't think we can change it. It has to be caught in the audit. Has
Correct.
To be fixed in the audit.
Correct, I believe so.
Yeah.
We'll find that out.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
We do have all the correct information.
Okay. Okay. Well, I like the fact that you broke it out. I appreciate that because it was confusing. So this is a special assessment. Sorry, let me just write a few notes here. The board have any questions about financials?
Not these, the budget I did.
That's next. Anything, Michelle?
No, not at present.
Okay. Okay.
Just for FYI, I'll contact Cecilia tomorrow.
Okay.
And see if we'll get together.
Yeah, I don't care if the meeting's a month from now or whatever, but give us a meeting.
Okay.
You want to take a break, Michelle? Let's take a break.
Do we need to... Well, it's just going to be 1 minute. I didn't think we were taking any action, so I thought this transition time was a good time for me to sneak out.
Yeah, let's just take a 5 minute break.
Okay.
Okay. I thought you were from Wrightwood, man.
Yeah. With my jeans.
Come on. Tougher than that.
Huh?
Yeah, suck it up, man. You're out there barbecuing in the snow.
With a t-shirt, big thermal on.
You look good.
I know, huh?
In fact, you were having fun, really. I was on my way somewhere. I was going to stop by. I saw you out there. I was like, man, I got to stop by. But
Ben from the Chamber of Commerce, general manager. He rolled up there.
Did you get around Sunday? Or did you say Saturday or Sunday? Or what day?
Saturday.
No, this weekend. What are you doing?
Might be Saturday. I'm trying to get Deb out of town for a couple of days.
Oh, okay. If I see you, I'll stop by.
Saturday, so we might do it on Sunday.
I think you should buy a helicopter, man, from what do you make?
No. He's a technology guy. We have a drone, and we can just put a burger on the drone and just
that's great.
Light up at the back.
Awesome.
It's all in the back.
I would sign up for that. I would definitely sign up.
What's the change going to be with the 25
for
promotion?
Oh, well, I know it's for promotion. Have you got
advertising the right one?
Right, where?
Yes.
Down the hill or?
At billboards, radio.
You're going to put signs in front of your house.
I need firewood. Go
for last year they San Bernardino County awarded Wrightwood.
Right.
This year they don't really want to be
right. But
the way is to help you.
Okay.
All right, hold on
right
there.
Thank you.
We're
going to
have another
10 o'clock. No, we're not.
Yeah, so what are we
going to do? That was why I didn't want you to call it. No,
that's later.
I don't want to delay
this. That's number 11.
Yeah, no, we got it on here. We'll go over it.
Right, but are we looking to take, are we ready to take action tonight? Or
Okay. Sure, why not?
Well, I don't know.
Unless you don't want this. No.
Oh, okay.
It's really
simple.
Was
gonna be a huge
you saw where it is
no,
in here, right?
No.
In the back.
It's really simple.
The show.
Okay. It really is.
All right.
That looks really simple.
It is.
Don't let him
intimidate you with that. Don't look at him.
Not looking at him anymore.
Mid-year budget, number 11. That's all it is.
Yeah, but we were going to talk about adjusting hours.
Those are part of the questions.
Okay.
Yeah, those are part of the questions. Right.
Whether we approve or
yeah.
Or whether we move on 2 weeks
yeah.
to get answers. Is a possibility.
Did you get my pictures?
Yeah, I did. Thanks. Thanks, man. That's cool. Yeah, like another minute. Don't worry, I'm gonna blow through.
Okay.
8:30.
Okay.
You got Tesla? You can go 0 to 60 in how long?
Yeah.
He showed me and threw my back out. Started to get car sick.
I guess we didn't do that over the weekend, right?
No, just before we got here.
0 to 60 takes 5 hours.
Yeah.
We got here and it was locked.
Nice. You mean tonight?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a new one. It's a new one.
Oh, you got a new one?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to check it out.
What'd you do with your old one?
Still got it. You should buy it from me.
We take donations.
Okay.
All right.
Back from break. Okay. Anybody have any questions over the January financials? Okay. All right. I don't think we need to take action on that, right, Steve? Right. Okay. District number 9, district auditor, discussion of possible action. That is Edie and Payne, right? Edie and Payne is right here. All right. So it's a lot more than we thought, right?
Yes.
I think it's
it's 14.
Yes, it's 14 grand.
And then what's the second one?
It goes down a little bit, then it goes up again. I didn't really understand that. Doesn't seem like a good deal, Hong.
Is this Hong?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Hong.
Welcome.
Hong, can you answer questions about this for the board? Sure.
Okay, what page is this?
It's on the
First, you know, give my, now, in full disclosure, you're the, you know, for Ultimate Internet, you do auditing for us.
Yes.
Just to make sure.
Yes.
But give us a little back, give us a little background. I know some of it already, but give us a little background on what you guys do for cities and organizations like this.
So my name is Hong Nguyen. Good evening, everyone. I'm with Edie and Payne. Edie and Payne is a local accounting firm. We used to be based out of San Bernardino County, Redlands, and San Bernardino, Ontario. We recently moved the last 2 years to downtown Riverside. We've been around for, actually this year is our centennial, 100 years. Yes. So we're really proud of that. We actually, in our 100 years, have we work with a variety of industries, mainly not non-public entities, so corporations that are not traded on the stock market, just privately held, family-owned businesses, and a lot of governmental entities. So like Wes mentioned, we currently do audits for cities, special districts.
Can you name a few?
Yes. Cities that I'm personally involved in is the City of Compton, City of Oxnard, the special districts. Actually, fairly nearby here, we audit the Hesperia Park Recreation District. Very close. You must know Lindsay.
Absolutely.
Yes. We've done other special districts in the past, water districts. We do water districts as well. And those are the bulk of our governmental audits. So fairly long history of doing governmental audits.
And those are governmental audits, are they different than a typical corporation?
Quite different. Accounting is different. Financial statement presentation is completely different. You will see, once we're through with the audit, a very different type of statement than you're used to for your regular business. What we do is we divide your operations into governmental activities and more business type activities, such as your trash, hauling is more considered business versus your parks. Would be more just the public service, which are governmental activities. So those are things that you probably will see as a change, especially in this first year of financial statements that you'll be issued. The notes disclosures are quite different as well. There is a distinction between having full accrual statement, so completely accounting for all of your capital assets and any long-term liabilities that you might have versus what you just used on a budgetary basis.
when we get in here.
Al or Steve, when is this due for the county?
It's late already.
I know it's late. Did we get an extension?
The state of California, please correct me if I'm wrong, wants the final audit no later, no, by June.
Okay, for the first year, yes. Okay.
No, your year end is actually June 30th.
Right.
So the audit that was due for June 30th, 2018, there's a state controller's report that you have to file by January 31st. And along with that, they expect your audited financial statement. So they probably made an exception for you right now to input unaudited numbers with the expectation that audited statements and audit.
What do you mean? They probably did, or they did, or do we know
we
that?
Did.
They did. So you have a positive response from them saying, okay, this is okay for now, and then
correct.
We expect the other.
Correct.
In an email or something, or how'd they communicate that?
Email, and they've been working with Cecilia directly.
Okay.
How long do you anticipate your initial audit for the first year?
We do have hours. So these are actually, we try to estimate our hours.
Right.
I think it's the last page.
Yeah, it's the last page.
Yeah. And so generally, we do, there's a process of interim audit where we come on and review operations and some transactions during the year. So we can, at year end, review the final balances. In this case, we can just wrap it all together, and it's 48 hours. Part of it, which is done at the office, and then field work, you'll see, is 29 hours. It's definitely here, generally here at the client's office. So a few days, 3 days, 3 to 4 days, about a week at in the.
And that would wrap up our.
From start to finish, like, yeah. How much calendar time?
Calendar
time,
yes. Generally, let's say it was a normal audit, depending on when you close the book, so we would work with Cecilia, potentially, in waiting for her to say, okay, all of the adjustments and final entries have been made, we're ready for you to come and review the book. So, that could be in
I mean, there are several errors from last year.
Yes.
But
yes.
From the point where you start, how long does that take? Is it a month? Is it 5 months? How long does it take for all these hours to be put in?
Oh, it could be back-to-back, 110 hours. So within a month.
Could be a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So once you start on it, you just proceed.
Right.
You might have to wait for a vendor or something to respond.
Yes, or Cecilia to make adjustments,
right.
Or give us
right.
A supporting documentation. Right. So everything is smoothly, we just start.
Is it proper to has Cecilia closed the books or can we make the corrections now? For example, she has some things on the income statement, such as cleaning deposits and her balance sheet transactions. They're just wrong. So, can she make those corrections now, or are the books closed? We have to wait for that to be audited and then adjusted.
There's a few things that we've been waiting on, and Susan's rate has left, but I can't put it any other way. I've been after special districts to finalize some things. Either send us a check or send us a statement or something to verify that when the district got started and they gave us that check for $14,000.
Oh yeah.
Okay, there was money that they kept.
Yeah.
And they've never been able to reconcile it.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the books. I mean, that could be, you know, that's money they owe. Maybe that's a accounts receivable that goes somewhere else. What I'm talking about is there's actual incorrect entries. Right, you've got deposits that should be a balance sheet transaction, and they are on the income statement. You know, it's like $3,000, and it just bugs me. It's not horrible or anything. It just bugs me that it's wrong.
Sure. And deposits, cleaning deposits.
Yeah.
And she's got those as actual income.
Yeah, which is not true because we have to give it back, right? It's a
yeah. If they do correctly, yeah.
Well, it's not income.
Right.
So
right, it's a holding. I mean, it's
so are the books. So the books are not technically closed, right? We could fix that.
Yes.
We need to fix that.
I would
before we would have an audited.
Yes.
Okay. So has she done later. Like the depreciation of the assets or any of that stuff yet, or Cecilia?
I think she has.
Okay. Because we haven't seen that.
You know, I don't know for sure.
Right.
But I believe that part of it she has. I know she has in the past.
Okay.
So or at least accommodated for.
Okay.
No.
So, but to be quite honest, I really don't know.
Okay.
Any of these things.
Okay.
And every one of these questions.
Well, you can work with it. I mean, we just need a meeting. Get that, but we can't really do the audit, and we need to fix these things.
Get on.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Okay. So the first year is more expensive just because there's more upfront work.
Yes.
Okay.
And after that, it's a 3% annual increase that makes the price go up.
Okay.
So, Al or Steve, are you familiar with what other CSDs with the companies they use and how much, like the Phelan Pinyon Hills CSD, what do they pay for their audits?
I don't want to tell you because their district is a multi-million-dollar district.
So a lot more.
So they're a lot more. What they had to do with all that water.
Because of the water.
So yeah. It's probably
okay.
50, 60 grand.
So
grand.
What about, Steve, do you have a ballpark idea for another special district that would be comparable to us? I mean, where did we get $6,000 at our last meeting?
We guessed at it.
Yes.
That was the original LAFCO.
I was going to say it came from the LAFCO.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we took an educated guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Steve, like, how does this all strike you in terms of your knowledge of other special districts and such, the cost?
Seems reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my only question. Sorry.
Yeah.
What do you think, Leo?
I'm mulling it over here.
Yeah, okay.
Wes, do we only do this once a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is planned out for 7 years. Are we agreeing to some sort of long-term contract, or do we?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Yes.
Generally, and it's a 7-year contract.
6 year rotation is the
default. So we have to change after 6 years.
Yes,
I understand.
So you can.
Oh, really?
At least up. Yeah, you can have contract after 6 years.
You don't want to get too friendly.
Yeah.
The auditors.
So we would be committing to 84.9 or 85,000.
No, because that's a 7-year. Because what's quoted on here is a 7-year, but you're saying we should get rid of the lab column?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So,
I guess, yeah.
So it'd be 72.3.
Yeah.
So the first year is 14.3.
Right.
Yeah. So our total is 72,300 for 6 years then.
I don't think we have a choice.
I don't think we have a choice.
Or I mean, we're
this company seems
behind the eight ball.
Good for all the reasons we discussed the last time.
Mm-hmm.
I especially like the experience with similar agencies and such.
You have to. I think for this, you have to hire somebody with experience in this exact area.
Yes.
You can't just use any auditing.
I agree. And
the productivity having experience goes a lot faster than learning.
Yeah, and we need real, not wishy-washy. We don't need any more of what we dealt with from LAFCO for the past 18 months. So.
And we need some help and some direction, guidance from
exactly
experts.
Are these fees, the total fees each year, are those set in gold, or if you end up having to spend more time and that type of thing, that should go up?
If there is, generally what we say, if we have to do things that are outside the scope of our audit. So if you need considerable help in, closing your books or, preparing,
special schedule.
Something unexpected.
Yes.
So this 14.3 theoretically could go up.
We're hoping not.
could it go down?
It could go down. Honestly, I mean, you know, the thing is, what we are also partially relying on is Cecilia's knowledge,
right,
and expertise, right?
Yeah.
We're not quite this out to have put the.
I don't think it's going to be. It's the first year. I don't think it's going to be that intricate, right? It's not as if it's the city of Compton or something like that. They have years of.
A lot of it, the initial is just really documenting your general processes because that hasn't been done before, and setting up the financial statements. So that does take considerable work to put a whole set of statements.
Do you get into reviewing like resolutions or ordinance and?
So we are required to review your minutes.
Okay.
And if there are any resolutions that might be of interest to the audit making sure that the financial transactions are reported correctly, we do review that and make sure that it's incorporated into the
statement.
So if you have any long-term agreements,
such as a franchise agreement with
or the election
CR&R or something like that.
If you want to disclose, it's either on a disclosure form or in the financial statement.
Okay.
I think we should
vote on it.
Go.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor of
We need a motion.
Sorry.
Accept the Edie and Payne
proposal
for auditing for the next 6 years.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion carries. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Hong.
Thank you.
Feel free to
reach
out to me if
there's
anything.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, plenty of things for me.
I can't
help.
Okay. Didn't you already
send that? Yeah. So item 10 is a support letter of the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council. Discussion of possible action. So I sent this before the... No. But I wanted to make sure. Just wanted to make sure it was okay with it. You know, I didn't get to discuss it with anybody.
Right.
It was due before the meeting.
Yeah.
So if there's no objection, there's nothing to do. But
thanks
just want to make sure there isn't any objection. Al wrote it. I just sent it.
Oh, that's right.
Did we hear any outcome from that letter?
No.
John? I know John has a meeting tonight.
Yeah. He just. Right. He said it was great.
I saw it.
Right. Okay.
I want to take a motion to ratify it.
Okay. All right. Can I have a...
I've already made three tonight.
Can I have a motion to ratify the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council letter?
Yes, I'll do that motion.
So moved.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Item 11, mid-year 2018-19 budget review, discussion, possible action. So Chuck and I and Al, we went over this budget best way we could. And bottom line is we eliminated some things. If you look at the last page of the budget, we did everything right, we'd end up with $50,821. Okay, we tried to put everything in here. We tried to put all the expenses we can think of in here. So we did correct a few things from the previous budget because that was largely a guess, but we had some numbers now to work from. So
we were working with not only the first year's actuals, but also the first 6 months actuals of the second year.
Right.
To try to really narrow
in on it.
The request for a meeting with Cecilia, Al, part of a couple of things that I would like to see from her are, and we've talked about this before, the chart of accounts with the subsections. As an example, when we have an expense for snow removal, where is that actually being put? Because,
yeah, we don't know what category it is.
On our initial budget, we have 12 or 13 line items, but there's a lot of subsections to that, and we still haven't gotten that. So I'd like to see that.
But I mean, I think it was not on there, and if it was, it was really low, Chuck. That was my guess, and so I made a separate entry for that and included that. I mean, I tried to be very, very consistent.
Oh, no, on that. I'm talking expenses and a lot of other things, too.
Yeah.
And on the it was just, you know, a normal chart of accounts with the subsections on it.
Right.
And
the snow removal piece of it, we probably didn't have a whole lot in there for the last 2 years.
No, that's right.
No, we did.
I think we had $600.
But where would you put that?
There's no snow.
Where
on your budget, is that maintenance?
I put that underneath maintenance and snow removal.
Yeah.
That's where I put it on.
But it would be nice to have that. Okay. The other thing, a couple other things. One, the parks and rec category. You know, if we're going to add money to parks and rec, for whatever reasons, that would be under the expense, and it would be, you know, to break those things down, we're talking about a coordinator type of position. And so there might be other programs that are going to go under that. That's part of the subsection type of thing that you add. So that would be that. And then the last thing I had, Al, is you gave me a month or so ago, I guess, it was a listing of changes on the salaries and where we went on the facility staff and the park staff. And originally, on the original budget, it was $12 an hour, the 20 hours a week. We know that there's been extra work, so that has gone up a little bit. But I don't recall us voting to move the salaries from 12 to 13. Now, did I just miss that, or is there something that we did as a board, or do we even have the authority to do the raises?
The two positions that we have,
right,
our position and the office,
right,
have a salary range of 12
I understand
to 15.
That. Right.
And in the 17-18 budget, we budgeted $15,000 per position, which covered the high end. At that time, I was hiring both positions in at about 15. Currently, we have the park person at 13.50.
Okay.
Okay. And the office person is at 15. The reason why.
Oh, we've already raised those again?
When we had this hire.
Oh.
We basically had one person change from one position to a new, and we had a new position come in. And
so you're saying because that budget was at based on $15 an hour, right? Is that what you're saying?
Basically.
That gives you the power to have that range to say, hey, I'm going to hire this person. Right. Right. The discretion is a good word. Thank you. And so that you can say, hey, this is 13 or this person is 15.
Dependent upon the experience level.
Right.
Well, I understand that aspect of it, but the reason we lifted it up to 15 was because the amount of hours, we were sticking to 20 hours a week on that. And so when we were looking at the budget, it was, we better cover the extra hours that it's taking for the facility staff and the park staff, because every month we were over the allotted time. So we wanted to make sure we covered that in the budget, and that's why we raised it up to the $15,000. Not that we were giving them raises on that.
First year's budget.
Right.
We never had discussions about hours or anything else. Okay, this last budget, when we started with it, we had some discussion about it. The real issue with the hours came up starting in August of last year, where I started putting them into the hours when I started showing them.
Right.
In there. So that was August after this year's budget was already adopted. And that was
basically monitoring hours. It was always expressed to me that in these meetings that when we did the mid-year review, that perhaps there'd be an accountability of those extra hours.
Okay, so we're at 15 and 1350 based on 20 hours.
Right.
And that's going to be the 15,000 that we came. So if we're at 30 hours, then that 15,000 is wiped out? Do we have any kind of buffer whatsoever? Because the reality is we've had, you know, a good year and a half where we haven't kept it at 20 hours. That's not negative or anything. That's just reality. That's a fact.
I agree with you.
So, you know, that worries me in the sense of what we just put together. Maybe it needs to be at 17,000 if we're going to be paying that level of a salary. The only thing I remembered on the salaries, Al, was you had at one point asked for a 2% raise every year for the staff, and the board said no at that time. Okay, so again, you know, in our deliberations, I thought we were covering at 15,000 the extra hours, not the extra salary.
So what the board adopted was
we're not going to change it. We're not going to change it right now. Tammy, don't worry about that.
What the board adjusted, what the board agreed to in the current budget. You guys agreed to the current budget back in June of last year when he adopted it, was $12,480.
Right, that's the 20 hours at $12.
Right, but you didn't have any buffer.
No, well, we didn't raise the hours, the salary level either.
So what do we need to do at this point to fix this, to move forward with this?
Well, the only thing we have to do is determine what we want to put in for the total facility staff, and the parks services is 15,000 enough, because I don't believe it's going to be 20 hours a week. I just don't see it after a year and a half. There's too many things that come up.
Good example, and Chuck, I'm really in agreement. Okay, about what you're coming with the scope. The park, it stays pretty much close to the 20. It tends to go over a little bit. But that position is easier to control with the hours.
But let me interrupt you for a second. Remember, we're looking at a coordinator that does not have any staff, who is going to have to, if it goes through, is going to have to borrow your staff in order to do it, and it's going
to
be
more. But that doesn't happen, and that's why are we talking about that? Because that's not approved or anything.
Well, no, but it's.
Well, I don't want to talk about something that's not approved.
Well, do you agree then that 15,000 is going to cover it at the new salary levels?
That's for the entire year.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't make sense to me that facility staff and park services are at the same amount.
No, they're not. He said 15.
But they are right here.
$15
in budget.
Okay,
right.
In budget.
It doesn't make sense to me that they're
right.
The same right here, because he's just said
15
that Tammy's going to work 50. More. It's harder to control those hours or budget the hours, and she's getting paid more.
A good example.
So
right. She worked
that number
morning,
has to be changed.
A good example. She worked a full shift this morning. She's back to seat.
Great. So we can't have.
I'm not. Saying
okay,
that
so
she doesn't work the hours, or
that
position
that's
doesn't work the hours.
So
right.
Facility staff on this line
higher.
Item is Tammy, yes?
Yes.
And park services is our two gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay. So what should the discrepancy between the two be?
You know?
Is it $2.50 difference in pay? Or no, you said
$1.50
in pay, and
so how many hours are you are we taking here in the office? Is that 25 a week?
I would say on an average it's about 25.
So $10
so
every 2 weeks. 40.
$19,500 for a year for 25
25 hours a week times $15 times 52.
Yeah.
$19.5.
Okay.
And on the park, I figured 22 hours.
About 22. So.
Times 13 times 52 is 15,444. So 15.5. That's what.
So that's an additional, what, $5,000, right?
Yes.
So that takes our.
We made 119.
Instead of 50,000, it's 45,000 at the end, if we just added that expense.
Can you give me the exact amount?
Okay.
So, yeah, 19.5 for the facility staff.
And 15.5.
15.5, exactly.
So that's an additional 4,500. For the facility and 500, so that's the additional 5,000.
Okay.
So you take, what's our bottom line here?
So now
50,821.
Total payroll expenses is now 73.5.
So that's 5,000 from that. So it's 45,821.33 is our net income.
Okay.
On that.
Yep.
Okay.
I think are we clear and we understand exactly what we're going? I don't want any ambiguities later on.
Well, if it comes,
this is great to bring up right now, and let's get this flushed out.
Absolutely.
Now we got a benchmark.
But now,
right, and this is more of just, you know, something for us to look at and try to keep in. But if for whatever reason Tammy ends up, you know, spending 30 hours. You know, that's going to change too. But all this is a roadmap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not set in gold type of thing.
Okay, so we.
But I would like us to know what we're doing.
We need to look at the GM salary because these numbers aren't.
Okay.
I mean, we're at. If we look at facility staff, we're at 7,400 for actual, and the total is 1,500. We're halfway through that money, and the GM is a completely different ballgame here.
Right.
So
right now he's scheduled for the 100 hours a month, which is the 25,
great.
Okay, a week. Based on the 7 months, he's at 114.
Mm-hmm.
So that's additional, you know, 14 hours a month at the 26. What are you, 26?
And is that what you guys?
40?
24, whatever it is, and then it's up to 26.40 after.
Is that what you budgeted for here, Chuck?
No, it's the 20.
Does this number take all that into account?
I don't know. Do you have a calculator?
Yep.
Do the
base. I think it's the base is 2473. And then if I exceed 25 hours in a week, then that goes to 2640.
Not my recollection. I thought it was 2640. Is what your rate is. We had said the 25. Anything over 25 had to be approved by the president or vice president, the way I remember that.
I think that's over 35.
Yeah. Okay. But what we did the 2640 times your 100 times your 12. Your 100 is the 100 hours, that's the 25 hours a week. Right? You following me?
Yeah, I'm following you. I'm trying to remember.
I didn't know your rate fluctuated based on hours. I thought it was a straight, because we took from LAFCO the original 31,680, whatever it was. I got it in my briefcase.
Yes, that's what it is.
But that was the original. It was based on 25 hours. So that's where we came up with the 2640.
Right. But so this number you guys have already accounted for.
I have not. No. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because
so I'm not clear on what you want me to calculate.
Well, I just got here. Okay. And that was based on the 100 hours.
Okay.
Okay. Well, based on 7 months, he averages 114 hours.
And what's the highest possible pay for that out? I'm just going to play it on the safe side right now.
2680.
Thank you. 2680 times 115 hours times 12 months.
It's 36,984.
But is that 114 hours? Is that when he goes over that? Does that mean it's retroactive for all the previous hours? The previous pay, your whole pay goes up, or just for those hours?
No, paid for those hours.
Yeah, but I know, but you're figuring it out for all of them.
Yeah. Okay. Monthly hours.
I am because I want a buffer.
He's supposed to do 36. The 100. That's the 25 hours. I added the
36. I got 36.9, but I put in that buffer.
So that's the 96.
Okay.
What was it?
So.
I have 36,984. Leo calculated more accurately with 36,6 something.
37,000.
So I was building in a buffer.
And we had put in
34.
Yeah. Well.
So that needs to go to 37. Then.
For that one, yeah.
Or it's got to go up from 30.
It's got to go up a little bit.
Okay, so you want to add.
37?
You want to add 30? That make that 37.
So that's an additional 3,000. So that takes our
down to 42,
821, 33 for the net income.
Okay.
We already talked, Wes, about the cleaning and that.
Yep.
So those and the other numbers I think are close. It's just a matter of getting together with Cecilia and getting some of our questions answered, I think.
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with this budget. That's more of just accounting stuff. So we can fix that at any time. But as far as the budget goes, and we take off another 4,000 off our 45,000 here.
They ended up with 42, 821.
Yeah, 33. We took off another 8,000.
Okay.
Five for the staff and three for Al. As far as what we projected.
Okay. Any other questions about it? Okay.
And the one question I had is the sports league on total services.
For the income or?
No, this was expenses.
What page are we on?
We're
21 bottom.
21.
Yeah, 21
okay.
bottom.
Oh, okay.
Where it says the total services, the 772.
Yeah.
That was part of the original sports league expenses, and then the
I don't see that being any different.
No, not for this, but we didn't really put in. You know, it's going to be more than 932, I believe.
Why?
Because we had a second sports league. We had a fall and a spring. I think this was for spring. I could be wrong.
I think it's all in there, right?
Because that was all
summer and fall.
I think it's all in there because this is all the way to December, right? The actuals.
I'm sorry. Does it?
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, that would be still here. It says fiscal year 2017 is 2018, which means the fiscal year ended in June.
Right.
So this does not include fall.
No, it doesn't.
So it says it right at the top of this.
Right.
So it doesn't include the fall. If it's based on the previous fiscal year, that would be in this year's budget.
Right. But it's not. We're not showing it there.
Right.
That's all.
Or you know, whatever we're much, showing, it's
how,
only one.
Yeah, how much it is, you've got the umpires for a full section. We had expenses for Monica for equipment, I believe, that we bought or purchased.
Some of it was one time.
That was startup.
That's what I was thinking.
Right.
A lot of it was startup.
Some of it is, you know, balls and stuff you have to
replace. Right.
But if the league brings in the money to pay for that.
Totally understand that. I think
we're just talking about the expense side. Yeah.
In the income side, we projected 7,000. Okay.
That was
for both.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
But we're just talking about the expenses.
Right
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you see now,
yeah.
I know
the profit.
Did you want to adjust that or no?
No.
Or, well, what do you want to do?
Until we have the actual.
So you want to see want to table this? You want to table this budget until then, or something? Or
I don't care with it.
I really don't want to table it. I mean, we could put a little more on here if you want.
Can't we approve it and come back to it at some point if we need to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We can come back to this if we need to at any point.
Yeah, we can.
We're going to have to start working on next.
Yes.
Your budget. Yeah.
Next month.
Right.
So what can get established and accomplished tonight would be very instrumental in helping with that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we can get the meeting with Cecilia, a lot of my questions will be answered. Plus, we will have a good 7 months of actuals for
this year,
which we'll be able to maybe correlate and say, okay, well, next year, this is where we have to be.
Well,
I really need to see her income statements. And
okay, but we're down to just a couple items, okay? So,
right.
So we have the sports league here. Do you want to adjust this? Or not?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Until I meet with Cecilia, and I'm okay on voting.
Okay. Well, then I would like to.
This is not going to change the outcome of this, but mm-hmm. on income, why is Snelling Christian Academy, Snelling Players, and Tri Community Co-op? Why were they ever there to begin with? It says deleted, but
I don't. That's one of the questions I don't understand about some of the ways
Cecilia.
Stuff
okay.
is booked.
Gotcha.
If I could interject something. Basically, the committee took the template from Cecilia and adjusted our numbers to that.
Okay.
So some of these things, like what you just asked about,
mm-hmm.
were in that template.
Okay.
Okay, and I think she just deleted it because she decided to move things around as she got to know our district better.
Okay.
But the committee itself put this together based upon that template.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your work on it, guys.
Yeah,
no problem.
So if we do a motion for the...
Just to accept the budget.
2018-19 budget, mid-year budget,
yes. mm-hmm.
to approve it at this moment in time.
Well, we can change it any time. We could review it at the next meeting and go, hey, we have additional input,
right.
or we need to amend the budget.
But I will propose that resolution.
Okay.
Well, motion.
Motion. All right. Yeah. Do I have a motion to approve the budget for
2018-19?
Well,
yeah. So move.
Budget amendment. Okay.
Yes. And this is for January 1st. This is January 1st's budget, right? The mid-year, right?
It's mid-year, but it's
fiscal year 2018-2019.
Yeah.
No, it's July through
June
right now.
But this is the mid-year.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're re-examining it.
You want a second?
I'll second it.
All right.
Okay. All those in favor,
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Budget carries. The amendment carries. Okay. Item 12, district reserve policy, discussion on possible action. I don't know what we're supposed to do on that. Let's see.
This is for the reserves, right?
So,
yeah.
Where do you fall
page
on this whole issue?
Thank you, Director Schneider. The prior document from the last board meeting, I had asked the board to permit me to modify the recital in the document to reflect the specific authority that the district has. The prior document was essentially a template from Thiel and Pinion Hills, and so I modified all of the recitals to reflect that. That's page 25 and to the top of 26. From 26 on in the covenant, beginning in section 1 and on to section 2 and 3 on page 28, those are all discretionary decisions by the board as to how you want to go about establishing your reserve account. You have the authority to do that and setting goals on how you want to maintain district reserves. So that's certainly within the board's discretion on how you want to do that. I think the general manager could speak better to those numbers that are contained there than I can.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
he sure did.
Wow. quite sure what to say other than as we keep on going forward and we're honing our budgets and we're honing our finances, somewhere along the line, we really need to start looking at, you know, setting up some reserve policies, some reserve accounts. Disaster would be a good one. CIP capital improvement would be another one. It seems to me there's a third one that's escaping my mind right at the moment.
Operational,
thank you. And, establish these. That way, we know where our funding is starting to head and starting to accumulate. If we develop enough in the capital improvements, then we can start designating, okay, we need to fix this, you know, for sure.
I mean, I think we all understand what a reserve is. It's just a reserve.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
And so what I don't know is some of the details. And I haven't had a chance to really look through this. I would like to look through this more.
That's fine.
Would you like to just,
yeah, I would like to not. I would like to not take any action on this tonight, and I'd like to look it over.
Two weeks.
2 weeks. I know.
I mean, I think typically it's a guide for. It's more or less a guide that the board establishes for staff in preparing your budget.
Right.
So I think it's a timely document. As the general manager indicated, you'll be discussing next fiscal year budget issues coming up. So it's a helpful aid in for staff in putting together the budget and reserve accounts in your budget and how what percentages to apply. There's 10% numbers and that kind of thing. Those are all, none of that is statutory.
Right, correct.
Those are legal requirements. So it's really up to the board on how you want to handle
it. And, you know, the operations, okay, well, that's, you know, 3 months or 6 months of what our expenses are. That's real easy. The other ones are based on depreciation of the plant, the assets, those type of things. And until we get the audit, until we hear from Cecilia what those things are, it's tough to take 10% of, you know, flip a coin. Don't know.
The board can make an adjustment. Give you an example down in Phelan, and I don't sit on the board anymore, but down in Phelan, initially we had 100% depreciation, and we dropped that to like 60.
Right.
Because it just was able, you know, for us to adjust our funds.
The only thing on this it's not the only thing, but one of the things that I think is a positive is once we establish the reserve, then it's going to take, what, 4/5 of the directors in order to move that into the operating budget. If we approve something like this, let's put it off until next week.
I just don't understand some of this language. I mean, this is like a word problem in math. The district shall endeavor to maintain each reserve for replacements an amount approximately equal to 25%, not to exceed 50% of the total accumulated amount of depreciating the district's physical plan. I mean,
so Wes, do you want to go through it tonight, or should we table it?
We got to table this.
Okay,
because I really got to understand by example, you know, how does this work exactly? I don't know what this means.
This is a skeleton from And that document, this, which you see here, that portion was drafted by district staff. It was not drafted by me.
Yeah.
I just drafted the recital.
Right.
And then staff came up with, the financial staff at that district came up with the language.
I don't understand some of this. I don't understand how this pencils out. I need to see it on a spreadsheet. Like, okay, it's... I like things simple. This doesn't seem very simple.
No one wants me to prepare a spreadsheet.
No.
Well, let's all read it and discuss it at the next meeting.
Okay.
We're not going to get anywhere with it tonight. But
perhaps between...
Let's all study it.
Perhaps it within this next week. Within this next week, questions that you have, I might be able to find the answers for, or the clarity for, or whatever. Please... relay those to me during this period.
And,
this,
It can be anything we want for the reserve,
yeah,
right? It can
right.
be anything.
Yeah,
it can be any formula. Like, we could change the language there to say,
absolutely.
Say,
right.
look, it's 5% of the revenue goes towards this
yeah.
and this reserve account.
The next
yeah. Why is it so complicated? Why is this so, I don't get it. Okay.
Alan, will
this
we be able to meet with Cecilia before the 5th?
You guys need, she needs to meet with the budget committee in the next few weeks.
Okay.
All right, we only have 3 people left here. We got those are our last agenda items. So Greg can go home.
Oh,
I know why one of them is still here.
Have we had the board side leaving? You know, remember, we make the...
Okay. Okay, so no action on district reserve policy. Item 13, solid waste recycling update, discussion on possible action. Did you talk to Brent about the...
Brent and I, feel free to chime in, Brent. But we had a discussion on the 29th. He relayed to me a lot of the stuff that they're already doing that we're already involved in. That's in compliance. There are some adjustments that are coming down the pike that they need to do that we will probably benefit from them being able to control and manage it, where it's not going to cost us that much staff time. I talked with Kathy Walsh.
Okay.
And, you know, she's very in tune with this stuff.
Yeah.
She's giving me some preliminary stuff, and I just talked with her today.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. But she gave me some preliminary stuff that I mentioned to Brent just at the meeting here that I'm going to relay to him, and then he can get back to me, and I can go over that with her. And between the three of us, I think Brent, myself, and Kathy, that we can start. She's got a lot of templates and stuff that she's used in the past.
Okay, so the idea here, Brent, is that can CNR help us if we make it, you know, mandatory for commercial pickup, right? Make it mandatory trash pickup. Can CRNR supply us with the reports and stuff that we need to turn into Cal Recycle or the county?
Yes.
Because we can't. It's just a terrible burden for us, and we'd like to move that burden to you.
He's the only one not laughing at that comment. The only one.
Come on up.
Can you come up to the mic? Because I'd like to understand. It's like, are we going down the right road on this?
Brent Spear, General Manager of CRNR. Yes. I mean, as far as providing you with the documents, reports you need, due to the fact it would be billing, those are basically billing records that you're asking for.
Right.
You know, currently we're doing it for feeling. CSD at this time. So
okay.
As far as being able to provide you with the reports, of course. Yeah.
So okay, that would
quarterly reports of what he's doing already.
Right. So you know, I mean, the bottom line is we could go to the county and say, look, here's all the businesses we think are in Wrightwood because we have mandatory trash pickup.
Right.
So they have to do it. And therefore we think all the businesses are covered.
Yeah.
Because we have an ordinance that says so, and then you would have the reports.
No teeth as far as pointing to.
No, I understand that.
As far as who is supposed to sign up, that does fall on you.
Yes.
To instruct those people to sign up.
Yeah, right. Of course. But it's better than a voluntary program where we have to go around, you know, knocking on doors and seeing and you know checking business licenses or what. I mean, I don't even know how to do that.
There is no business license.
Right, I know.
County.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So it is almost going door to door and knocking on because you do have bed and breakfasts here in town. You have to look at all of what is considered a commercial entity here in town and decide their level of service at that time if you're going to go forward with this order.
So do you have all this information?
I don't have information for people that are not signed up with me. I have no way of finding out that information.
What
I only know the people that are signed up with me. I can give you the information that you
have.
So but
who else is up here then?
Oh, there's tons of Airbnb. Or B&Bs.
People that don't get trash service, they go to the dump instead. I got neighbors that never have their trash picked up.
Or it's not commercial.
They're running a commercial business.
Right.
Running a commercial business, but they're using residential service.
Right.
That happens.
Airbnb is going to be the biggest problem.
Right. Right. But Steve, if we have an ordinance that has perhaps a fine in it or something that we can get the word out and say, look, if you don't report to us, there's a fine, and if we find out, we're going to fine you.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what
to help us
intended to do.
Right.
Is to give the teeth that Brent was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So do we need to create this ordinance, or do we have this?
Steve's
ordinance?
Working. Right. Steve's
we
doing
created,
it.
We created. Yeah, thank you. There are two ordinances in the packet. Can't adopt them tonight. Their ordinances require a first reading and then a second reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a process to it. It's really kind of to get the ball rolling on the discussion with the general manager.
Yeah, okay.
And is there dates on this for San Bernardino County?
Yeah, June.
First, I want to say.
Yeah.
The date of August.
August. Yeah. Right, but we need to get it in by June. There, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. I think we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent. Thank you. Thanks for staying. Oh, wait. Where are you going? Are you leaving?
Try to not be the last.
We can't be the last one.
You're going really fast. You might be John. Bye, guys.
Okay. All right. Okay, director's website pictures. We did that already.
Done it.
So are we going to try to meet before the next meeting for a group picture? And if so, can we meet at 6:45?
I think we meet before the meeting for the group.
Yeah.
Do the same thing
so
at the next
six,
meeting.
We don't need to be here at 6. Can we be here at 6:45 to take a group shot?
Yeah, sure.
A group shot, you have to have a tie.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Leo will bring you one.
I'll bring one.
Okay, so we're going to meet at 6:45 at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. All right, any director's comments?
Yes, I have two.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so the first thing I have for director's comments, this is I am reading on behalf of Greg Jones, who, and I've cleared this with Steve, that this is the appropriate time to do this.
Oh, okay. Greg Jones.
Who's
so, this is to the Wrightwood Community Service District Board, and this is from the Wrightwood Blues Society. Greg is a professor at DBC, and he's the president of the Wrightwood Blues Society. So, the Wrightwood Blues Society hereby requests the CSD Board consider the following proposal for a vote at your next meeting. The Wrightwood Blues Society wishes to fund a Wrightwood Music/Art Wall of Fame in the community building. We envision a 6 by 8 foot glass case or whatever space is available. The case would hold plaques, which will have multiple inductees engraved on each plaque. We will cover all related costs and maintenance, including perhaps a 5-year lease of the wall area if desired. If approved, the first inductees would be honored March 10th. Sincerely, Dr. Gregory T. Jones, President of the Wrightwood Blues Society.
What is the Blues Society? Is that with the school, or is this...
No, the Wrightwood Blues Society is it's a group up here in Wrightwood, and you can pay, you have membership dues and stuff. They give away $2,000 scholarships every year.
I always wonder on these kind of things why they don't come to the meeting.
Yeah.
If they really believe in it, why don't they come to the meeting?
Because Greg teaches at BBC every Tuesday night, and he has never and will never be able to come to one of our meetings because he's working.
Yeah.
So
we're all working too.
So anyway, my request is that this be put on the agenda for the next meeting, and I will tell him he needs to get somebody from their board here.
Yeah,
I mean, Greg's not going to be able to make it, but they have a treasurer. They have other people that could come and address it.
I mean, just my comment, I'm not impressed by people who send stuff by proxy. I'm just not.
So what would you do if you had a job that kept you from being able to be at these meetings?
I have a job all day. And you know what? It could keep me from coming, but I come anyway. I don't want to argue that. I come here and I make it. So he can too.
Okay, I would like this to be put on the agenda for the next meeting.
Is that a yes, Al?
I'm agreeing.
Okay.
We can do that.
And all you right. can make your complaint to whoever comes and speaks to it.
Okay,
that's fine.
So,
well, if he comes, I won't have a complaint.
Well, he won't come. He's a professor. You don't leave your classroom to go to speak for 5 minutes.
That's la-di-da.
You know. Okay, my other thing is I would like the sunshine ordinance on our next agenda meeting regarding the start time for our meetings. As I said, in the very beginning, when we first set our regular meetings, I believe these meetings need to start earlier. Snow and school board meetings start at 5 p.m. I do not think we need to wait till 7. The only thing for you to write down, Al, is sunshine ordinance regarding meeting times. I think we need to start our meetings at 6. I don't think, obviously we have an empty room essentially. The only person who's still here was the last on our agenda. I think we need to, because we have so many special agencies that are reporting now, and that wasn't true in our first year. It took a while for the special agencies to
find us,
for the MAC stuff to really finish wrapping up, for us to take that over. And I know tonight was an exception because of the season, but we didn't even get to our agenda until an hour into our meeting. And so I'd like to see our meeting start at 6 so people can be out of here well before 9 o'clock. And Tammy, welcome aboard, and thank you both for your work. And those are my comments.
Okay. I gotta say, it's tough for me to make it here at 6. It's tough. I get off at 5. It's hard to get up the hill, get ready.
Absolutely.
It's tough. And traffic and all that stuff. It really is.
The late meeting nights are tough on me.
But I need to,
because I gotta work
a little bit
the next day. Yes.
Okay. What was the conclusion to item 13? The solid waste, the two ordinances.
Well, he said
there's no action.
There has to be at least two readings on ordinances.
It's got to be publicized.
But there's nothing we can do right now.
Do you agree to have a reading?
Is it ready for a reading? First reading.
I think the idea is that I haven't read the particulars of it, so.
So once we have the first reading, then that's an opportunity for the public to weigh in. If there is any significant changes to the document as a result of that, then we have to redo that first reading again.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my thought was that I don't know if there was sufficient time to review that document by the board or not, but I think what we would want an internal review with any comments, and then have a first reading after the board has weighed in with any changes, and then have a second reading for adoption. So
the reading would be at the next meeting.
Perhaps we could have a review in 2 weeks, and then the first reading in April, and then the second reading possible adoption.
Yeah, that's what I would want to do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
I think we have the print.
We'll have to do a public hearing for the second one, and that requires publication.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week, 2 weeks prior.
So that'll be in June?
First meeting in May. I don't know if Mr. Spears has an opportunity to look at it. It pretty much follows the format of the feeling. So, and I know he's familiar with that document. Really, the board has had an opportunity to review it. Maybe the next meeting, 2 weeks. Maybe the next meeting.
Do the review.
Have an internal review, and then you have a full first meeting in May. Now, the readings, just so that we're clear, we're not reading every word of the document. And we've gone through this process on some of your other ordinances. You would have it on the agenda, and then there would be a motion, there would be an announcement by the board president of the title of the ordinance, and then, assuming that there isn't any comments, then you would entertain a motion to waive the reading and push it on to the next agenda.
Oh, okay. Did we do that? We did that once, and
we
did
the garbage dumping.
And did we get a waiver for the whole thing? And okay, all right. Oh, that's cool. All right.
So we don't have to actually.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to me read 60 pages.
I was afraid you were going to tell me I had to read it, but you have to read it.
Well, I mean, whoever.
Okay.
I don't have to, but okay. I'm assuming that task would fall on me.
All right. Okay. Okay, that's cool. All right. Any other?
In that direction.
Okay, thanks, Al.
Thank you for the clarification.
Any other director's comments?
No, I don't have any.
Just, do we know what's on next week's, or 2 weeks from now, agenda? Are we bringing back Village Trail again? Are we, you know, what are those type of things?
I haven't heard a word about that. Okay. And
really? I thought they voted on it or something over there. No?
No. Randy had called the office and asked to have it pulled. That's why you don't put it on this agenda.
Right. Yeah.
Because he said that they were going to have another board meeting and discuss it
more. Oh, okay.
They canceled
it. I haven't heard a word since then.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're having second thoughts.
It was canceled.
It could be. Well, maybe they did not realize that if they adopt the trail, they have to do it the same way that we were going to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if
I can't figure out why they would want to do that either, but
exactly.
But they're a smaller organization. You know, I don't know.
It's got a little bit of work to have be done on it.
I do have one question or one topic. If I could bring up with, is there, and maybe this is something we could bring up in the next board meeting, that is, we've got these wonderful trash bins that are all up and down the road. There's like four or five.
All blew over.
But I think if maybe, and I don't know if it's allowed on the state highway, maybe we could put a banner right on the front of it.
Yeah.
Don't trash our town. You know, a banner right in front of that trash can so they know, hey, just a...
What do you want
it
to say?
I don't
know. Please use the trash can that is right in front of you.
I don't know. I'm curious. I'm just thinking a couple of customers came into my restaurant and said, hey, you know, it'd be, you know, we got all these small little sign down here on the Village Trail down here, really small, but if we have a poster board or something or a banner right on the front of those trash bins, I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah.
Taking up some of these ideas.
I've been posting those.
Are people using those trash cans?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah.
I think it's the only polite thing to say is please help us keep Redwood clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to say, your mother raised you this way. I mean, you know, lots of smart.
I know everybody has said this, and you can see all the deputies and the CHP, all the cops, they're just overwhelmed.
Yeah, they are.
And I could see it. I mean, it took me an hour to go from the ski lift to my house.
I mean, something a visitor...
It was crazy.
...trash here, please, something like that. But please, if we just kind of restrict it to, we're saying, visitors.
Yeah.
Because otherwise...
Oh, yeah.
If we trash here, I'll have everybody's contractors trash in there.
You'll have the Grizzlies trash, right?
You'll have that anyway.
You know. If we're saying visitors, I mean, there's...
Right.
So somebody else put it in there, right? See a local, we'll drive over there. I'll be happy to walk over there and tell, you know, that does say for our visitors.
Yes.
But if it's there for public use and people start using it...
Yeah,
I have a hard time going over saying, hey, you can't use it.
Yeah,
I'm saying it's for the visitors. It's easier for me too.
I don't want to seem cynical here, but I mean, it is so many people. I mean, I just stood and looked in awe at the wash. It was just hundreds of people.
These people coming in here.
And people with Suburbans just hauling ass up the dike. You know, just it's just like pandemonium.
So big bear has grizzly. I'm doing that barbecue, and there's a patch of dirt from the Channing fence to Highway 2. It's probably 30 feet. I'm not kidding. By the post office across, there must have been 150 kids right there, right in front of the Grizzly, just playing in the sun.
Yeah.
Are you
kidding me?
It's amazing.
It's nicer when it happens down a little bit lower down to three levels. You know,
when there's more snow.
All the three levels years ago,
right.
It's nice when
it's
down there.
Kind of like
all of them.
That's the level.
So do we know what the agendas are?
Anyway, I'm open for any suggestions.
Okay.
Well, do you have a list of the agendas?
So for the upcoming agenda, the CIP was something that I was going to bring forward.
Right.
It seems to me we're going to have something with the budget, correct? Are we going to start working on the new budget?
There's going to be a report, hopefully, from the meeting with Cecilia, right?
Well, we've already approved
that
budget.
We hope it's
going
to happen.
We've already approved that budget, but we do have to fix some of these items because it's hard for me to figure out what's going on because some of the stuff's just not booked right.
But that's not an agenda item for next meeting, correct?
Yeah.
Unless you... unless after you meet with Cecilia, you guys think it should be.
But what would the agenda item be?
I don't know.
I'm getting lost.
You guys, I just wanted to leave you guys some leeway in case after your meeting where you were like, no, this is.
We're ready to start the next budget. Is that where we're? I mean, I'll just copy this one. Here, we got a copy here.
We're starting to get ready to work on the next budget.
Yeah.
I don't see any.
I think it needs to be broken down. My personal opinion, it needs to be broken down a whole lot more and categorized much better and clearer. I've been actually working on that template, and actually have numbers and everything in there that I wouldn't mind.
So it has to be, the next budget has to be in by June, right?
Correct.
So we got April and May.
It comes up fast, so.
Okay, but is that something you want? Is that something you want at a board meeting or in special committee? I mean, in your budget committee? It seems like something you work out in committee.
No, it has to be public. So.
Well, ultimately, it has to be.
Ultimately, but you work it out in your meeting,
but you
and
still
then you
need
bring
to,
your
still,
recommendations.
You still need to have the ad hoc and do.
Oh,
is that what you're saying? Yeah.
But aren't you guys? You guys are the budget committee.
No, I thought you were going
to. Oh, I'm sorry. No, we have well established members. So I think this is a wonderful thing for you guys to be.
What about the report from Natalie and Michelle?
That's on the March agenda, right?
That'll
be on the agenda, but I need material.
I got to talk to Natalie's got him.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, I think we could start our ad hoc budget for the next one after we meet with Cecilia and get some stuff answered. And then I think it'll be a piece of cake because we'll use this as a template.
Right.
Yeah, and we have a lot of numbers now that we didn't have before. Like
yeah.
You guys were mentioning.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a year and a half. So the people
right.
And I know what
a lot
of expected.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay, so future board meeting, it's going to be March 5th, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Thank you. Right. We're supposed to be here at 6:45 for a group.
Yeah,
6:45. Yep. Okay. All right, meeting adjourned.
Do we need to put that on the agenda that we're throwing out?
No.
Okay, good, because I don't want people coming early to laugh
no,
at us.
So.
But they'll come and laugh at us.
Okay, meeting adjourned.
Trying to still put it in right now.